Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
How are we today?
Yes. Very well.
Something significant has happened today. A child has been officially introduced to the community of God. Amen.
Amen.
Very big congratulations to James and Luciana, his uncle. Congratulations to the bigger brother, and congratulations goes to the reason for the season, Levi. Let's put our hands together for God. So, as usual, I'd like you to talk to your neighbor and say, neighbor, welcome to church.
Welcome to church.
Yeah, so that's put some smile in your face, because you can't give what you don't have. So you give a smile because you're full of life, you're full of smiles, you're full of happiness.
Yes.
So it's always good to exchange pleasantry. Amen.
Amen.
So as usual, my prayer as we go into the word is that the word of God goes forth and pierce the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow. And I pray that as the word comes, that it will be mixed with faith. And I also pray that God will help all of us hearing the word to not be forgetful hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Because it's in doing God's word that we get the blessing. Because that's where we show our faith. Because faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I've titled the topic today as Unto Thee, O Lord. There was a special reason for that. On the 15th of February 2024, I sent a message on the Life Center Church WhatsApp group, so you can verify it after the service. And that message was just putting it out there that there was a particular song I usually sing every morning that I like to wake up to every morning, that I've set my alarm to sing every morning. And that song was titled, or is titled, Unto Thee, O Lord. And that song is taken from Psalm chapter 25, verse 1. They took some excerpt from verse 3. They took some from verse 5. And they took some from verse 7. I'll be able to tell you why those scriptures are very important today. It says, Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, and let not my enemies triumph over me. It goes ahead to say, show me thy ways. Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Mm-hmm. Thy ways, O Lord. Because I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed, and let not my enemies triumph over me. He now said again that, yes, let not them that wait upon thee be ashamed. Let not them that wait upon thee be ashamed. Oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. He went again, verse 7, to say, remember not the sins of my youth or my rebellious days. Remember not the sins of my youth. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, and let not my enemies triumph over me. So the reason why I brought up this topic today is partly because of the baby dedication today, but I want us to understand what we do and why we do it and why we dedicate. So in simple terms, a child dedication is a voluntary, symbolic ceremony where parents publicly commit to raising their child according to the Christian principles, acknowledging the child as a gift from God, and pledging to teach the child, steward the child in the Christian faith. It signifies a vow that guides the child towards a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And it comes often, and in this case, as you can see, with the support of the church community. Because it takes a community to raise a child. Because everything we are is what we heard, what we saw, and what someone told us. So we're in sum total of what we've heard and what we've seen. Because there are so many doorways to the human spirit. One of them is through your eyes, one of them is through your ears. So it's very, very important that whatever the child starts to see and starts to hear is very, very, very intentional. Because from 0 to 7 years old is the formative years of children. Jesus Christ made us to understand that he loves children. When they were driving the children away, he said, bring the children, I love them, because they have a childlike kind of faith. I've talked about this before. So if we start to stare them while they are young, in that amazing faith that they have, where you can throw the baby up, and he knows daddy and mommy is going to catch me. But both of us going to a roller coaster, I'm sure some of us lose ourselves. Sometimes our heart is somewhere else. Our souls leave our bodies when we go into these amusement parks. But you see the children lifting up their hands and just screaming. They're not over calculating, they're not overthinking, because they have that absolute faith. So bringing them at this stage and raising them at this stage is very important. Now, as Pastor Merritt just mentioned, it is not the gateway to salvation, because with the mouth, confession has to be made to salvation. With the heart, a man has to believe unto righteousness. But grooming them from childbirth, from when they are growing, is important because it makes it easier for them to accept the faith. It's easier when they grow up in a Christian home than when they don't grow up in a Christian home. But crucially, and this is very dangerous, the Bible is clear about God visiting the sins of the father to the third and fourth generation. So this is where it becomes very tricky. So you imagine Pastor Melvin right now. Because he's a man of God, because he's committed and serving God, his generation is blessed to the third and fourth generation, right? But it ends in the fourth generation according to the Bible. So which means his daughter Lisiana, if she continues with the faith, then the next generation that was not blessed by his faith and commitment to God, third and fourth generation, is now going to the fifth generation. Do we understand that? Because his third and fourth generation is different from her third and fourth generation. So you can see that the dialect is going. It's going further. So dedicating Levi today has pushed it to the sixth generation. Do we understand that mathematical calculation I just gave? Third and fourth generation, the daughter takes it to the fifth generation, and then the grandson is taking it to the sixth generation. So it's better if we follow that chronological order to ensure that God is looking at us and seeing the third and fourth generation and blessing us in advance. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
A baby dedication is a covenant ceremony where parents publicly commit to children to raising them in the Christian faith. It is a public pledge to instruct the child in the Bible and also the church. It is not salvation for the child, but it is a promise by the parents to guide them towards personal faith. Now, moving into the message itself, we'll see why we do it. So the question I want to ask us is that, why do we need to commit children to God's able hand? Number one is what I've just shared with you. Because remember not the sins of my youth. You don't have to say that prayer point if you've been trained in the way you should go as a child, so that when you are old, you will not depart from it. Job was making sacrifices on behalf of his children, just in case they sinned. Imagine if he knew the secret of training up a child in the way he should go, so that when he's old, he will not depart from it. He would not necessarily need to be making that sacrifice and be acting in fear, because he knows that he's trained them in the way they should go, so that he does not need to intercede on their behalf. Praise the Lord. That was not the reason why he was tempted. There was a contest in heaven. But when you look at that story very well and see the way he was doing things out of fear, when the Bible is clear that we should fear not, then you see that there was a bit of doubt in his mind. He knew about himself, but he wasn't sure about his children. So dedicating your children starts that journey, because sometimes you need to make that commitment in public to be able to live by that commitment. It's just a way of helping yourself. Just like faith without works is dead. So this is kind of like a work you do that demonstrates the faith you have. Amen.
Amen.
So the reason why we dedicate to God, you know, there are a lot of reasons, but one of them is acknowledging that the gift of God, acknowledging that the child is a gift from God. We'll talk about that, you know, in terms of Psalm 127. So if you can open that, you know, we'll go into that. The next reason is because of the public commitment and the vow that you're making as parents. The next one is because you are following a biblical example, like the example of Hannah, when she was praying and making petitions. A petition is a specific request. So when the Bible says, do not be anxious of anything, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer, petition with thanksgiving. That petition is exactly what Hannah was doing in 1 Samuel. Asking for a child because of the shame that she was experiencing not having a child. And when God gave her a child, she dedicated that child to God. That's a different level of dedication. The Bible says she loaned the child to God. That's what she said to herself. Which is why when he was of age after lactation and breastfeeding, he was sent to Eli, to the temple, to grow up. So we'll go into that. But that's another reason, you know, following the biblical example. Seeking divine guidance, very, very important. Seeking divine guidance for the child. Praying for God's wisdom in navigating the responsibilities of parenthood for the child's future. A lot of prophetic words has been said. A lot of directions has been given of where the child will go. A lot of advice has been given to the parents how to nurture the child's earthly gift. But do you know that a man's gift makes a way for him? It's biblical. The Bible says a man's gift will make a way for him. Many people think the gift is talents alone. A man's talents, the gift you have, what you're gifted by, like singing and being good with your hands, as we know that Levi would be, praise the Lord. But also, a man's gift can be what he gives. How many times have we given gifts and it has made way for us? So that is another way we can make room for us, by giving gifts, apart from the gifts we have. But here's another thing. You read Psalm 127 from verse 1 to 7, you will see that children have been described as a gift to God. He says, behold, children are a gift from God, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. He goes on to say, as arrows are in the hands of a man, so are children. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of your youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with the enemies at the gate. So that is one thing as well we should recognize about children. Children are gifts that will make room for us. Some places that you have never been to, some things you never have access to as a parent, your children can help you to have access to that. Many children have made their parents have a lot of opportunities that they wouldn't have had just because of the children. So that is why it's important that you raise those children in the fear of God. But you should bring them up as quick as possible, not when they're older. Because it becomes harder when you're older, because people start to over-calculate things, over-reason things. And faith is not calculations. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Only children that can just believe anything you say, only children are completely gullible. So that faith is what we have to explore when we dedicate them to God at an early age. So I think, let's go back to verse 1 of Psalm 127. Now scholars think that this psalm was not written by David, it was written by Solomon, because there's a lot of wisdom there. It says that, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watches over a city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Go on to the next verse. It is of lost labor to rise up early in the morning and to stay late at night. eating the bread of sorrow, because God gives his beloved even in their sleep. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And then, I already quoted the verse of the scripture. So you look at that thing very well, and you start to see some things coming out of there. One of them is a man's gift making a room for him, as I've already quoted in Proverbs 18, verse 16. You don't need to go there. But you see that when children are born, we can start to set their path and set their course in the direction we want them to go. When the Bible says you should train up a child in the way he should go, so that when he's old, he will not depart from it. You think of a train, think of a locomotive. The thing is following that train, has to follow it any direction it goes. So telling a child the way they should go is not the same thing as training a child the way he should go. Because many parents make the mistake to say, do as I say, don't do as I do. But children, they learn by example, and that example is often what they see with their eyes. So this is why the parents making that commitment in public commits them to bringing up that child in a way that the child has to follow, because the child always watches and follows what they see rather than what they are told. Romans chapter 10 verse 17, it's not there, you can write it down. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as you start to bring this child up in the fear of God, and they start to hear the word of God, it starts to make that transformation in their hearts, in their minds, in their soul, in their spirit, and in their bone marrows. Because that's what the word of God does. The Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing the dividing of the soul, of the spirit, of the bone, and of the marrows. Your bone marrow is where life starts from. It's where your red blood cells are produced. The word of God can get to that point. So imagine starting to tell that child the word of God whilst they are young. It makes a big difference in their life. I'll give you an example from my own lifestyle. Now, when I was growing up, when I got to when I was a teenager, a scripture was very, very pertinent in my heart because of the faith I had as a child. I read a scripture that says, commit your ways into my hands so that your plans will succeed. It's in Proverbs. And I was like, what? So anything I commit to God guarantees his success. So because of that, I started making sure that when important milestones are happening in my life, I always mutter those words, Lord, I commit this thing I want to do to your able hands so that my plans will succeed. And what God has been faithful in doing is that at the end of the day, he does exceedingly, abundantly, above what I asked, what I thought, and what I imagined, according to his power that lives in me. That's the scripture. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above that which we can ask or think or imagine, according to his power that lives in us. That power is the power of intention, the power of the faith. And it's helpful when the child starts growing in faith when they are young. This is why this is so important. This is why this is so important. So what did I do when I was growing up? And what did I do that was significant? I decided, I proposed in my heart, understanding that scripture and understanding Romans chapter 10 verse 17 about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Do you know what I did? When my first daughter was born, I was in the hospital. I was with my surgeon's gown in the delivery room. But I had a plan. The minute I was given the honor of cutting my first daughter's umbilical cord so that she can take her first breath, not through the placenta connected to her mom, but through herself, the minute I severed that umbilical cord and she took her first breath, I quickly went to her ears and I started speaking the word of God to her.
Amen.
Because I wanted the first thing she hears to be the word of God. That was a significant ritual I performed, but I performed it based on my understanding of God's word. Jesus Christ said to someone who was deaf, Ephrata, and the person heard, your spirit responds to the word of God. You don't need your five senses for that. I wanted that first word that she hears when she took her first breath to be the word of God. What prayer did I pray? The same prayer in Numbers chapter 6 that Pastor prayed just now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace, both now and to the day that Jesus Christ comes or that you die. I went further to say that the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your heart and your mind in the knowledge and in the love of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Significance. Significant. I did that to my second child, but I went a step further. She was born at 23 weeks. So she was very premature. Her ears were not even formed. But I did the same, even while she was being transferred to the incubator. But I went a step further, because I know she hears me. I said, I am your dad. You came out of my loins. If you stay strong and you beat this situation that you found yourself, because I know the statistics of survival at 23 weeks. If you can survive this, I promised her heaven and earth. I was going to spoil her. There's nothing that I will not give to her that she wants. And that's why she's now currently wrapped around my finger. Anything she wants, she gets it. Because I made a promise to her. But what she needed to do was to go through all the pain that she'll go through being a 5-month-old fetus. I came out early. She's gone through a lot. She's had heart surgery. She's done the PDL duct ligation. They thought she would not walk. She walked. They thought she would not see retinopathy or prematurity. She saw. She's been beating all the odds. So she's living her own promise. So I'm keeping my own promise. Praise the Lord. But the most important thing is that I spoke those words to her, and those words made a difference. That could have been the only difference between life and death. Because death and life, the Bible says, are in the power of the and they that know it will eat his fruit. So if you don't know how to use it, you cannot eat of his fruit. I don't know why the Bible always hides these interesting things that will help us. He always hides it. I don't know. Well, I kind of know why. Because it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, for the honor of kings to search it out. So if you are a king, if you have been made a priest and a king and a priesthood and a royalty, then you need to search things out. So that's the way God does things. But these things, they go a long way. So what has happened, don't take that for granted. It's a very significant thing that has happened today. So moving on. In Exodus chapter 20 verse 5, just open that one alone, but there are three scriptures that are the same, basically. Exodus 20 verse 5, Exodus 34 verse 7, and Numbers 14 verse 18. Those three scriptures talks about how God is asking us not to worship things that are idols. He's a jealous God. He's made it clear. I remember I told you that there are 639 laws in the Old Testament, but they were summarized to 10 commandments in Exodus when it was given to Moses. And in the New Testament, Jesus Christ further summarized it to two. One of them is about do not worship other gods. God has always made it clear that he's a jealous God. And because of that jealousy, that's why he punishes anybody that worships idol to their third and fourth generation. Which is why this is so important, that Pastor Melvin's lineage to the sixth generation is now guaranteed because of what we've done. Because Levi, God is not going to visit the sins of the father Levi when he has his children to the third and fourth generation because of the sake of what the father did. How many times in the Bible do you see that God will say, for the sake of Abraham, I will bless you. Because of what I swore to your father Abraham, even though you are misbehaving, I will bless you. So this is very significant, what we do as parents. Because it goes a long way. When God sees a man, because God is spirit, God sees your spirit and God sees his generation. This is why what we do matters and how we do it matters. So, you can see there, for those that he thinks hates him, he's you know, visit the iniquity to the third and fourth generation. And idolatry these days, don't think it's about worshiping idols. You cannot serve God and mammon. Some people worship money. Mammon is the demon of money. Some people worship money. Bible says you cannot serve two masters. You either love one or hate the other. And then wait till you say, you cannot serve God and mammon. Which means he was trying to tell people that you have to choose between them. Money is not a problem. Money is not evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Let's get this straight. Because money is a defense, just like wisdom is a defense. So money is not a bad thing. But by the time you put money in front of God and you start worshiping money, that's where you have gone. That's where you have the problem. So attitude matters, but it has to be based on understanding. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. You see the story of Anna, like I said. She said, "For this child I prayed all along for, and the Lord has now granted me my petition. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is now lent to the Lord." So that's why I said baby dedication is optional. But Hannah did it and went a bit further. Completely loaned to God. And she had other children afterwards. But you saw that Samuel became one of the most significant prophets in the Old Testament. Significant. Because of the dedication. So that dedication element to God separated him. And when his ministry started, he heard from God directly. Samuel. He went to Eli, the priest. "Did you call me?" "No." "Samuel." He went again to the priest. "Did you call me?" Eli, the priest, said no. And the third time when he went to Eli, Eli now understood that, wow, maybe it is God that is calling you. So the next time you hear this, just say, "Lord, I'm here. Your servant is here. Your servant is listening. Your servant heareth you." And that's where his ministry started. So you can see the difference. Eli's sons were very responsible and doing things they shouldn't have been doing in the temple of God. And that's why they received the reward they received. But Samuel, who just went there as a dedicated child, made all the difference. He is the one that anointed David as king. And it is through David's lineage we now have Jesus Christ. Significance. So this is very important. These things I'm telling you. Mark chapter 10, verse 14 to 16. Jesus Christ welcomed little children. So as we have dedicated Levi to the Lord, he is welcome in heaven in Jesus' name. Because heaven is excited about children because of their faith. So let us mold their faith and mold their personalities so that it becomes easier for them to find God and to profess God for themselves. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 fortifies what I was saying about training up a child in the way he should go so that when he is old, he's not going to depart from it. Because I dare you not, if you do it the wrong way, then you see what the Bible says about a foolish child and the pain he brings to his parents. Go and read all of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. There are so many references of what a foolish son does to the parents. Many parents have died because of high blood pressure, hypertension, and medical conditions directly related to how their children has disgraced them and brought embarrassment to families. So if you want to save yourself from headache, do it the right way from the onset. That's what this is saying. Joshua 1 verse 8 and 9 is also very significant. It says, "Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth." Thank you. "Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth." Very important. Not depart from your heart. Depart from your mouth. You need to say the word of God as much as you can. Do you know why? Because according to the Bible, once have I spoken, twice have I heard. The more you speak the word of God, you are also speaking to your spirit man. Luke 8 verse 18 says, "Be careful how you listen." Because the Bible is clear. It knows that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it says there, "Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate." So after speaking the word, you meditate upon it, not only in the day and night, And then observe to do, that's an intentional act of research. Observe to do all that is written within the world. Because it's only this way you will make your own way prosperous and have not just normal success, but good success. Good success. So there are different kinds of success, is what the Bible is telling you. Just like there are three different will of God. There's the good will of God, there's the acceptable will of God, and there's the perfect will of God. There's a 30-fold harvest, there's a 60-fold harvest, and there's a 100-fold harvest. So take your pick according to the power He has given to you, according to the power that lies within you, according to your faith. God has dealt to every man according to the measure of their faith. Faith is the shovel or the spoon or the fork to dig from the well of God's benefit. You use a fork, you have limited supply because it's perforated. You use a spoon, you get a lot. You use a shovel, much bigger. You use a truck, you get more, depending on your faith. Your faith is the currency of how much you can do and how much you can receive from God. So finally, because of time, I will conclude by saying that we should commit our ways, like I found out when I was 15 years old. Commit your ways and your plans to God so that it will succeed. So that is taken from Psalm 37, verse 5. That scripture I learned while I was a teenager is from Psalm 37, verse 5. It says, commit your way to the Lord. And this means fully entrusting your plans, your decisions, your future, including your kids, but that's your future, your legacy, your heritage, so that God is now under obligation to make them succeed. I dare you further from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, that you should trust in the Lord as you commit your children, as you commit your ways to God, that you should trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And what will He do? He will direct your path. So my prayer for you is that you do the right things early enough. Because time and chance, the Bible says, happens to them all. So don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. So what you sow in those children is what you will reap. Don't be deceived. That's one thing God says. Don't be deceived. He says, do not be mocked. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. So He's telling you something very emphatic in that Galatians 6 verse 7. I didn't get that scripture, but that's okay. I can quote it. He said, be not deceived. Do not be mocked. God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. So it's what you plant is what you will harvest. You can't plant corn and think you're going to harvest lettuce. It's not possible. So it's what you give is what you get. So that's why it's important to give the right things to these children and help them grow. But what I would say for everybody else that don't have children, but as personal individual, we need to always rededicate our lives to God. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory. So it's a continuous act of dedicating and committing our lives, our ways to God. Because it's important to do that. Because we are humans. So as we commit our ways to God, our plans will continue to succeed. But that is a continuous daily act. Because God will remember us for what we've done. But He has chosen to remember our sins no more. I'll tell you where I'm going before I conclude. Think of God as an omniscience, omnipresent, and omnipotent God. So He's not so stupid or so ignorant that He forgets your sins. The Bible never says He forgets our iniquities. It says He remembers them no more. There are two different things there. God has intended and proposed and chosen to remember our sins no more. Not because He forgot. He made a choice to not remember them. So we have to be very careful about how we conduct ourselves as we go on. And Isaiah chapter 30 verse 20, as we conduct ourselves, The Bible says that sometimes we might turn to the left, we might turn to the right, but we'll hear a word behind us say, Eddie, this is the way, walk in it. The Holy Spirit has been promised to be a counselor, comforter, teacher, and bringing us to remembrance of things that are to come. So he has that very four purposes for us. And he says that when we turn to our left and turn to our right, which is when we get distracted, we will hear a voice behind us, the Holy Spirit's voice saying, Christy, this is the way, walk in it. Louisiana, this is the way, walk in it. Ayo, this is the way, walk in it. You will hear that voice. But until you commit something to God, God is not under obligation to ensure your success. Psalm 109 verse 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So every daily step you take, you need that lamp to take the steps. But you need the light onto your path to see where you're going. When we're in that place, we don't know where we're going. We're just shooting, we're just like everywhere. But when you have light, then it gives you direction for your initial step as the lamp, and then the light so that you see exactly where you're going. That's what God's word says. And that is written in Psalm 109, verse 105. So, I want us to keep committing our ways to God so that our plans will succeed in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm just going to sing this song.